And I believe it's your turn, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Bernice Parsons, and I live on Rabbit Run Road in Bridgeville, which is right around the corner from Laura Ryder's. And if you go through the ditch line, it's maybe half a mile.
Okay.
Okay, with my family and I, with my children, my grandchildren, my mother, it's about 10 of us that live on that road.
Mm-hmm.
And we all oppose the school going out there, for one thing.
Okay.
Not the school itself, not what they're trying to do. A couple of things I weren't sure about was, like, if they had a child escape, what are they going to do? Are they going to notify the surrounding people? And how are they going to notify them?
Okay, I'll find out in a minute. Keep
going. Yeah, I want to know, I don't want to be sitting home, somebody walking my door, And how often are the drug testing done on these kids? So they said they're done at the beginning. How often do they do them in between time?
We'll find out.
In one of the things on the film, it said they had off-campus work. Who supervised them on this off-campus work? Where they go?
They said they don't leave without a staff person, but I'll ask them.
Yeah, but then that takes away from the other kids, And then the parents, how much are they charged a month for these kids to go there? Is it set thing?
Why does that matter?
I mean, is it a set thing? I mean, is it...
I think they said it was a sliding scale.
Sliding scale for... other ones. And backup security, do they have generators? Are they going to have generators? Are they going to have cameras to keep an eye on these kids going from class to class? The reason why I'm asking is right now my son has a friend that is in Baltimore at Mountain Manor. And she went there because she's been in trouble since she was 13. She's 17 years old. I had her taken away from my house one night in handcuffs because she has stolen, she's lied. She does drugs. And I'm hoping Mountain Manor can help her. I've gotten her stay extended a little bit because I had to stoop low enough to read my son's letters from her where she was wanting to do more drugs. She was wanting my son to extend these drugs and stuff. And, it's a lot of it was because of this girl's upbringing. She didn't have a parent around, a mother figure around. But when we go up to see her, I know how they do the security up there. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed out of the room. They're not allowed to go to the bathroom unless they ask. They're not allowed to shave their legs. They're not allowed to shave under their arms and everything. And some of the things they're saying, I'm not, I don't know if they've thought a lot of it through and stuff. And, I'm just concerned about it. I've got a 6-year-old and 11-year-old grandson. And I'm very concerned about them. And I'm sure a lot of these other people are there. Are concerned too. There's a lot of kids on those roads. But the main thing is, like, if one of those kids escapes, how are they going to notify the surrounding people? And how long is it going to take them to notify us?
I'm not sure anybody can answer that question, but I'll ask.
Yeah. And it's just like, Mr. James was saying, sometimes they have to cover the state's territory because the state is so busy. I know my husband is his boss. And also as long as the fire service.
With all the policemen you got living out there, you guys ought to feel pretty safe. Now look, you're sleeping with one. You can't be too scared. You got one right next to you.
But as far as the fire service, I heard somebody ask about the fire service and stuff. And the one woman was talking about 15 minutes. That's a good time because you figure...
Actually, I had that same thought when she said 15 minutes.
That's not too bad, really. Because for one thing, because all my family's in the fire service.
I laid out on Route 9 for 25 minutes.
Everybody has to go to the firehouse. They have to get their equipment and then they have to go back. And that fire could be right next door to your house, but you still have to go to that firehouse. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Now, we'll see if we can get an answer to your question. Ladies, either one of you wish to respond to the lady's concerns? She was asking about escaping and notification and drug testing frequency. I think that was it.
Drug testing frequency, if the kids do leave the property without permission, anytime they come back to that permission to the property, if they are reconsidered to re-enter the program, they will have to go through all the testing that they went through originally to enter the program at their parents' expense. As far as notification of the neighbors, we will be calling the police, and we would ask the police how to handle that situation. And as far as fire service goes, those ponds, the stormwater ponds, will have hydrants at them that will allow us extra water, but will also be open for use in the neighborhood for trucks to draw water from to fight any fires in the area.
Okay.
I think there were two more questions just to make sure we get our question answered. One was, I think, whether the students would be leaving the campus for, like, vocational reasons, and then also what the backup power source would be. I think she
did. Oh, that's right. Generators and what happens when they the kids come and go. Oh, and cameras. Yeah.
We had not considered cameras as far as the generating power. At this point, I have a generator on the farm currently. It probably would be a good idea for any facility that size to be prepared with a generator. And as far as leaving the facilities, we are staffed heavy enough that for the ones that are left behind that haven't earned the right to leave the property, will be staffed properly, as well as those who are traveling.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Speaking in opposition, telling us something different. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
My name is Cindy McDowell. I live at 3169 McDowell Road. I babysit my two grandchildren, and we take a daily walk down McDowell Road every day. Please don't let this come. Please don't let them be a prisoner in their home where they will not be allowed to walk down the road because of increased traffic and because of increased crime rate.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir, all the way in the back.
My name's Gordon Sylvester. I live 2972 McDowell Road, which is right across the street. I had the same concerns that, of course, everybody did. My wife's a small lady, you know, and do they know how big a 17, 18-year-old boy is now? I mean, they make them big. And she wouldn't have a chance against one of them. I probably wouldn't either.
But you wouldn't yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, probably. But all that has been said a million times.
Mm-hmm.
My question right now is, where is this 5,000 gallon of sewage going? Is it going in my well? Because I live right across. The gentleman that's up here, his well is going to be right here. There's one over here, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they got 5,000 gallon of sewage
mm-hmm.
going in the ground.
Well, it's going in the ground just like yours is.
Yeah, and heading straight to my well or not?
Oh, I don't.
I don't know how does the county for, you know, do they have diagrams, see what that's supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. Won't allow that to be put somewhere where it would affect somebody as well.
Well, it's certainly not supposed to be, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I can tell you.
All right,
point.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Yes, okay, I see a finger sticking around there. Well, even Mr. McDowell's going to go first, and then you, sir. Come on up, Mr. McDowell, you're closer and moving faster, so...
I move pretty fast for 200 years old.
I was going to say, I guess you've been there 300 or 400 years at least.
My name is Ken McDowell. I own property at the end of McDowell Road adjoining my mother's farm, which adjoins this parcel of ground. One thing that I've heard tonight from many people tonight is the fear of when they escape, when they walk off, and certainly there hasn't been acceptable answers to what you're going to do. I mean, you've got counselors and what have you, and you're going to call the state police, and you're going to go from there.
Well, one guy's going to shoot him, so.
Well, I talk about shooting. One of the areas is hard-hunted for deer because of the crop damage.
Exactly.
From August 15th to April 15th, and somewhere between 75 and 100 deer are taken in that immediate area surrounding Shallow House of Hope. And that certainly is something we don't want to happen, and we're certainly not going to shoot them. It just occurs to me that I know religious-wise, Lori and I attend the same church, And I certainly have high respect for Lori and Robin, and certainly understand their situation, and I think they've done good things, and they're doing good things in the town of Bridgeville, where they have two layers of police. They have the Bridgeville Town Police, which is readily available to them, as well as the Delaware State Police. It's odd to me that you would fashion this after the International House of Hope in Orlando, Florida, which is in an industrial area with a jail there and local police and county sheriffs and Florida State Police. So they got three layers of protection there. They have two layers in Bridgeville. We have one, the Delaware State Police. Bernice Brown the other night had an incident at her on this exact road, and it took the Delaware State Police an hour and a quarter to get there. And they were having a domestic in the area, and it took 1 hour and a quarter. I'm not criticizing Delaware State Police. They're busy. I've towed for them for 30 years, and they're, you know, it's a growing county. The county is growing. Busted and seized, mother jobs, department elections. I went there. We had 50,000 voters. We've got 114,000 now, and 165,000 estimated people in Sussex County. It's a wonderful place to live, and people are moving here.
I didn't think you'd been there that long.
Since 1991.
That's right.
But anyway, I would say, and you look pretty good for 350 years old. But that's my concern, is nobody can guarantee me that there's going to be walkaways. In fact, what I've heard tonight from the International House of Hope in Orlando is you can be guaranteed there will be walkaways. I have relatives and friends and family in that area. It's an old historic agriculture district. We even have our own scene cleaning business over there, the Hastings is. A lot of these people, like my mother, is 72 years old. I, too, grew up in a house where the back door was unlocked. And certainly now she's a widow and she lives alone. And she's first online to be carjacked or come get her car. If I was 7 miles from town and I needed to get somewhere, I'm sure going to ride if I can. Right two doors over, I have a cousin there who is Lewis Brown. He's 77 years old, suffers from a heart condition, lives alone. He's certainly first online to be have his car taken. I got to believe that, you know, in the 1970s early, one of my first experiences in the court system was to sit on a murder trial. The lady banker down in Millsboro, who was a sister to John Williams' secretary, was killed by a 15-year-old boy who left school at lunchtime and walked down the street, and I guess she let him in and he killed her. He did kill her and choked her to death, raped her, and choked her to death with her bra, as bad as that sounds. That's a 15-year-old. Of course, he was tried in Superior Court and found guilty and got life in prison. My point being is it's not always bad kids to do bad things, but certainly with 48 kids with some with criminal backgrounds, you know, if you've been busted for drugs or alcohol, you certainly have a criminal background. Although you're adjudicated here, and it covers up a little bit in our family court system in Delaware. So, you know, you can't guarantee. One thing tonight I found out is I come here to listen to Lori and them, is you cannot guarantee me anything, but there will be walkaways and there will be escapes, and you can't guarantee me where they're going to go. So, you know, for the safety of my mother and four or five other widows in the area, and there must be at least 15 other families around there that live alone, I would ask for that neighborhood to be protected, and you to vote against this. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, where was that fellow that was going to Larry comes? Okay.
Good evening. William James Driscoll. I live at 20501 West La Church Road. It's about 2 miles from Lori.
Okay.
But me and my wife just bought the farm that joins up to Lori Riders. It's been in the family for three generations. Mm. But we want to try to keep it peaceful, quiet. We'd like to retire from there one day. Mm. So we would like for it to be opposed to it, too.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, all the way over here on the far side.
Jack Hastings, Hastings Mill Road, and I'm about a stone's throw from this campground is trying to get started right across the road from it. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion, there's nothing wrong with the idea of having this. It's in the wrong place. It don't belong out there away from emergency services and everything like that. It needs to be closer to town. We got the services for emergency or anything that comes up. But out there, because in that green mill I'm in, someday I'd hate to have to run down them steps real fast and run over two or three kids trying to come up. Because I wouldn't have time to stop. And I can sit right there and I can look right straight across and see it. It's right smack dab in front of me. So that's not the place for it. The best thing you can do, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Shiloh. It's good. It's something that's needed, but not right there.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, all the way in the back on this side. Hey.
My name's Mary Reed, and I live on Hastings Mill Road.
Okay.
And which my husband and I did not get an invitation from Lori. We didn't know anything about it until tonight. But anyway, that's not what I'm here for. We are against it, too. It's not that we don't love children. I have my nephew that my brother passed away. I've had him for 2 years now because he lost his mom and his dad. Kids need supervision, but... Okay, and we all have big hearts. I have a big heart. That's why I took my nephew.
I believe that.
That's why there's foster parents, where you have two adults take two or three kids. How many people did you have opposing here tonight if each one of them with their big hearts went and took foster parenting? Take two kids per 10. There's 20 of them. And say if they can't afford it, well, you get paid to foster children. You know, and it's different when, okay, the House of Hope, it's employee. People who go in there are working. Well, how many people think about, in all honesty, when you go to your job? Now, I give it my all, but on a scale from 1 to 10.
Okay.
No. Even 1 to 10.
Okay, 1 to 10.
You know, you will... Everybody's not honest. Come on now.
Are you kidding me?
But what I'm saying, it's their job. They're going to fall asleep. Are they going to give it their all? You know what I mean? Are they really going to give it their all? It's a job.
Well, ma'am, you know? I think most people that do that kind of work are not doing it for the money.
Well, it's like a tire company. You know, it's like a tire company. You have a flat tire.
Huh?
You're going to put a little stem in it? I've had that problem. They didn't do their job right. And as far as, like, it's a job for the people for the house. I'm not against what she's doing. I think it's great.
You just don't want her to do it there.
Right.
Same thing the last 17, 18 people said.
Exactly.
Okay,
so
I got
if you have
it.
A big heart, just... Start up fostering children.
Well, you know, I think if foster children thing worked so good, it worked all that great, people would do it. But maybe it doesn't work as good as we think it does. I don't know.
True, but think about it. Some of the foster children don't have mom and dads anymore.
That's right.
That's where J.D. would have been.
That's right.
In a foster home, because he didn't have his anymore.
I believe you said he was your nephew?
Yep.
Yeah, I think maybe a little difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, but it's still, I mean, it's different, but it's the same. There's a lot of people. There was one gentleman who said
you're
they lost
really
someone.
Starting to confuse me now. It's getting late. We're getting off track here. I think we've registered your opposition, being that you don't disagree with the mission. You just don't feel like it's being done in the right place. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Anyone else?
Right here.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't see you. Here we go.
My name is Ginger Brown, and I live on Hastings Mill Road. I'm sorry, this is really hard for me. And I'm friends with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I'm friends with you.
And I'm scared. Who's going to protect us from the kids that try to come see these kids? They talk about their security there, but these kids have friends that are going to try to come see them, and they're going to notice our neighborhood and how vulnerable it is. And we're too far away from emergency services, and it may be too late for us.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Oh, my goodness. It looks like we might be done. Okay. Now, we got two little items of business we're going to take care of here, okay? We're going to have a show of hands for and against, okay? And for all of you who are in favor of this application, please raise one hand, okay? Keep it up there for a while. Our attorney is going to count, but you know he's a lawyer, not a mathematician, so give him a chance, okay? In favor now. In favor. You guys in the back, going to step forward a little bit maybe. There we go. Nice and high. Keep them nice and high. Yeah, you ever hear? They spoke. They can vote. Sure. Why not? Let's say.
Count twice. 75.
I think.
How many people are back in the corner, though? I wanted two. Okay, yeah, I got it.
All right, then. Okay, now, those of you who are opposed, one hand in the air.
Can't vote for both of them.
Yeah, you can't go both ways now, okay? Sorry, say
66.
What? 66. I beg your pardon?
Recount.
Well,
it's not an election, folks.
No, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I hate to tell you, we're only kind of counting. I'm just trying to have the information. Yeah. It really doesn't mean anything as far as who wins. You know, it's not an election. If it were, we'd have to have Mr. McDowell up here doing this. But anyway, I'm sorry. We're done. But thank you just the same. Now, one other thing. Believe it or not, we still have some more business to transact, okay? We are not done, okay? You all are done unless you want to stay, and you're welcome to stay. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a 5-minute recess, and in that 5 minutes, I want you to get out of here just as fast as you can and do it quietly. If you want to talk, talk outside. It's a nice evening out there. You know, but please, if you would, if you're going to leave, if you would do so quickly and quietly, and we're going to give you 5 minutes to do that. We'll close the public hearing. You may remain if you like.